Find with me the Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, and I'm going to be reading and preaching this morning from verses 25 and 26. Now, this is one of those Sundays that when you come to church, you know exactly what the subject is going to be, and that is that of the resurrection. But we're going to look at it in a little different light as we're going to see some ways that you and I, who have the same spirit, the Bible says over in Romans 8 and verse 11, that brought Jesus up from the dead, how we can live a resurrected life. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. In my Bible, these words are in red. That means Jesus is speaking. And the scripture says this. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked those ladies this question, do you believe this? Let's pray together. Father, we love you and bless you. We thank you so much for just the empty tomb. We thank you for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the new life and the new birth that is ours as a result of a relationship with Christ. Lord, we're also concerned about those who've never entered into a relationship with Jesus. And Father, we would ask you today, because we believe we're praying this in the will of God, that you would save the lost. And as always, we'll return to bless you, praise you, honor you, and glorify you, because we ask this in the name which is above every other name. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, when I preach, there is one truth that I want to make certain that I'm crystal clear about, and that truth is the gospel. Now, the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, what the gospel is. For the Bible says this, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Now, the gospel, that word gospel, is a word that means good news. He said, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you're saved. So that ought to bring our spiritual antenna real high, because he said it's through this gospel that you're saved. Goes on to say in this passage of scripture, he says, which you received, in which you stand, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you. Now he's about to tell us what the gospel is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And then the Bible says that he was buried. Now, why did Paul say that he was buried? Well, to prove the fact that he died. He was buried. And then the Scripture says, on the third day, according to the Scriptures, he rose again. Now, friend, when Jesus Christ, as we celebrated this past Friday, when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died in my place and your place, he died not only for me, that's substitute, we understand that, but he also died as me. And what that simply means is that what happened to Jesus on the cross literally happened to me in that of the new birth. Now, we know that he died. We know that he was buried. We know that he was quickened. He was made alive. He rose again. He ascended to the Father, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, when I came into a relationship with Christ, when you came into a relationship with Christ, he became not only your substitute, but he became your representative. Now, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, we find that the theological term is that this man Adam, that he was the federal head of the human race. What that means is this. It means that he was my representative in the cross, in the garden. When sin entered into his life, friend, that means that I was born a sinner. You know, when you were raising children, did you have to teach those children to do wrong? It came real natural. Now, you thought it came from the other side of the family. But no, they came by it honestly. I came by it honestly. I got it from my daddy. He got it from his. It goes all the way back. So I'm a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by choice. And I'm a sinner by practice. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, died on the cross, buried, resurrected, friend, the Bible says that that same Spirit that brought Jesus out of that tomb lives in me and lives in you as a born again Christian. So how do we in this life live a resurrected life? I want to give you four ways. What I want to share with you this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture in John chapter 11, and we'll refer to different scriptures. First of all, a resurrected life is a life that possesses life in Jesus Christ. Now, the context of this passage is that Lazarus has died. Well, when word comes to Jesus that Lazarus is sick, we would think, since Lazarus was his good friend, Mary and Martha, those brothers, that they get word to Jesus, we would think that Jesus would drop everything and would go, would lay his hand on him, maybe even fathom a thought, and Lazarus would be healed. But something very unusual happens. Jesus waits. He waits 4 days. He tells his disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, by the time he gets there, I mean, Lazarus not only died, they've wrapped him in those grave clothes. They've put him in a tomb. I mean, folks, as I say in the country, he's deader than a hammer. I mean, he is dead. And they say, Lord, if you'd have been here, we got word to you. If you would have been here, our brother would not have died. You know, if I could have lived at the time that Jesus was here on earth, there was something that I would love to have done. I'd love to have gone to a funeral service with him. Do you know every funeral he went to, he broke it up? I mean, there were 3 different individuals that Jesus raised from the dead. One was a little girl. I mean, he makes his way there, and there's these professional mourners. The little girl has just died. There's these professional mourners, and they're whining, and they're putting on a show. And Jesus makes them get out of the room because he didn't want any unbelieving crowd in there. And he goes up to that little girl. She's dead. Hadn't been dead long, but she's dead. And he basically says this. He says, darling, get up. I mean, he says, the Scripture says that he said to her, young maiden, arise. And she arose. Though had not been dead wrong. Body probably still warm, but she was dead. But he brought her back to life. Here's the second time. It's when that widow's son over in Luke chapter 7. She's just referred to as the widow of Nain. And they've evidently already had the funeral. Pallbearers are carrying the casket to the cemetery. And Jesus shows up. He walks up and he lays his hand on the coffin. And all of a sudden, that man just sits up, brings him back to life. But there's the third one. And it's in this account of Scripture when he brings Lazarus back to life. Now, Lazarus had been dead for about 4 days. Lazarus had already been wrapped in grave clothes. Matter of fact, there was already the stench of death. And Jesus brings him back to life. Now, if I were to ask you the question today, which one was more dead? You might say, well, evidently Lazarus was more dead than that widow's son. That widow's son was more dead than the little girl. But folks, dead is dead. Dead is dead. And you see, the Bible says that before we came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That means that we were separated from God. Now, sometimes we'll compare ourselves one with another. Well, you know, I'm not as bad as this one. But folks, spiritually dead is spiritually dead. Whether your name's on a church roll or whether you never darken the door, dead is dead. And friend, the first step to having a resurrected life is to meet the one that's been resurrected. It's to recognize, not just give intellectual assent, not just acknowledge facts, but to trust the one who died on the cross for your sin. To trust the one that went to the cross in your place and to place your trust where God placed every one of your sins upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a resurrected life is a life that possesses life. Life in Christ. I heard of a fellow out in Texas. He's a big old man. And they buried him in a gold Cadillac. Well, when they went to the gravesite, one fellow was heard to say, "Man, ain't that living?" Folks, that's not living, that's dead. And I believe in a one that can give you life today. That your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That the Spirit of God can come and indwell your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ can step out of the portals of heaven and come to live in your life. To live in you and through you. And you can become a new person in Christ. Possess life in Jesus. But I noticed something else in this passage of Scripture. Not only in a resurrected life are we to possess life in Jesus, but a resurrected life is a life that practices liberty through Jesus. You see, the Bible says over in John chapter 11 and verse 38, Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Isn't that a great verse? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Did you know he called him by name? You know why he called him by name. If he had just said, "Come forth," I mean, every one of those graves would have opened up. But he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And then, "Loose him and let him go." You know, at times, while we don't experience all the victory that is available to us in Christ, while we don't experience all the freedom that is available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, we may still have some grave clothes on. We may still have some things in that old life that we've carried over into this life. Bible says this over in James 1 and verse 21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness," and listen to this phrase, "overflow
of wickedness. That's a phrase that simply means what's left over. What you've carried over from that old life of being separated from God. You remember, it was one thing for God to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was another thing to get Egypt out of them. And some of us may see on Egypt in the Bible as a picture of separation. Egypt is a picture of lostness. And really, it may be that we still have some carryover from that of Egypt in our life. That's why Paul says this over in Colossians chapter 3. Wonderful passage, Colossians chapter 3, in verses 5 through 10. Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." What he's saying, there's some things we need to just put off. Some things we need to leave behind. And friend, on this Easter Sunday, it could be the day that you purpose in your heart. I mean, you drive down a spiritual stake. But today, I'm going to leave some things behind. And I'm going to walk in the newness that is mine in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you this before. We were doing recovery ministry. Former church I pastored. I'd have the privilege many Monday nights to be able to preach Jesus to them. Tell them who the answer is. And I would remind them over and over again, as we'd make a call for men and women to come to Christ, I'd say, now, a Christian can have an addiction, but the difference is they don't have to, because of the power that is found in Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, if I believe that the Word of God was not enough, if I believe that the Lord Jesus was not enough, if I believe that the indwelling Holy Spirit was not enough to give me freedom, I'd close my Bible and never preach again. You see, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 6, in my estimation, one of the most important chapters for victory in the Christian life, it says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin." He says, "but alive to God in Christ. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it as lust. Don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Friend, do you die daily? You see, Paul says, count on the fact. Uses a term, reckon. That was a bookkeeping term. He said, count on the fact that you're dead to those things. Let me illustrate it like this. Let's say, for instance, this week that all of a sudden I was stricken by a heart attack and I died and you came to my funeral. Thank you for coming to my funeral. You go by and there I am, stretched out there in the coffin. Somebody comes by and they say to somebody else, "you know, I never did like him." They move on. Somebody else comes through and they said, "I never did think he was a very good preacher. I don't know why we even had him preaching here." Somebody else comes by and they said, "you know, Miss Joyce could have done a lot better than him." Folks, let me ask you this. Would that bother me? No. Why? Because I'm dead. Why, if it wouldn't bother me then, would I let it bother me now? Because there's some things I need to die to. Every day I say, Lord, I want to count on the fact I'm dead to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And all throughout the day, I have to go out and say, you know, Satan, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to the ways, the works, and the words of other people. You saw, if you're not careful, you'll be, I mean, your life will be gripped by what other people think about you, what you think they think about you, and the truth of facts, they're not thinking about you at all. You see, we need to possess the liberty that we have in Jesus. Those great clothes, he says, loose them and let them go. There's a third thing. Not only possess life that is found, a resurrected life possesses life that is in Jesus, practices liberty that's through Jesus. See, a resurrected life pursues a love for Jesus. Now, over in John chapter 12, the scene shifts. Jesus has brought his friend Lazarus back to life. And the Bible says in chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. You see, the scene shifts. He's no longer in the tomb. He's at the table. He's having fellowship with Jesus. Friend, I hope every day you have some fellowship with Jesus. Hope every day that you carve out some time to open up God's Word, because you know, the Scripture says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that means it's God-breathed. And, you know, sometimes people say, you know, I want to just hear God in an audible voice. Read your Bible out loud. That's how you do that. That's how God speaks audibly. Read it out loud. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but He's worked me over many a time through His Word. So I hope you have a time that you spend some time with Jesus, you fellowship with Jesus, that you pray, that you read His Word. I love, if you ever come across a little book on a little biography of George Mueller, friend, I encourage you, if you hadn't read that, to read that. What a great, great man of God, a great man of faith. He operated an orphanage in London for a number of years, raised what would be an equivalent to millions of dollars in our currency, never made a request except to God, never sent out a letter, never said, you know, if I don't hear from you, I won't be able to do this or that. He just prayed it in. He was a great man of faith, because one biographer said he'd read his scripture, read through the Bible over 200 times, much of it on his knees. But at the age of 70, you know, I used to think that's old. I'll be 70. April 18th. If you want to write that down, go ahead. I just take that. But at the age of 70, George Mueller decided he'd be a missionary. George Mueller went all over the United Kingdom, went to Australia, the United States, went all over Europe preaching the gospel. They said he spoke more than 6,000 times, traveled over 200,000 miles, and he died at the age of 93. Somebody asked him, they said, well, what's the secret to your life, George Mueller? And this is what he said. He said, the daily habit of having a quiet time with God in meditation upon the Word of God and in believing in simple childlike prayer. He said, I've always considered the first business of the day to get my own soul happy in the Lord. See, if I'm going to have a resurrected life, I'm going to live a resurrected life in this life, I need to pursue a love for Jesus. A resurrected life possesses life in Jesus, practices liberty through Jesus. But one other thing, I notice it professes a loyalty to Jesus. Now look down in chapter 12 in verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. And they came," listen to this, "and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." You know, I'd have liked to have listened in when those chief priests said, "Lazarus, we're going to kill you." Lazarus says, "Is that all you got? Been there, done that. Going to take more than that." The Bible says in verse 11, "Because on the account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." Friend, do you know that there has been a resurrection in your life, a new life in Christ? Not just so you can get out of this life and not have to go to hell. Oh, that's a great thing. But God wants to use you. And God wants your life to be a testimony to bring others to Christ. And it says, because of Lazarus, many believed. Friend, I desire, and I've been at this a long time, I desire to see God do something that can only be explained by God. I desire to see God do something in this church. But it's not because of somebody's ingenuity or this, that, or the other. But because God just settles on this place. I believe the day of revival is not past. I believe God can still do a great work. My question is, why not right here? But when it's all said and done, everything's been said and everything's been done, and be traced back to the fact that God did it. That's what we want. What he did through Lazarus. Friend, spiritually he's done to you. Done to me. Get those grave clothes off. Fellowship with Jesus. Spend time with him. And let God use your life. Adrian Rogers, hero of faith in my life. Dr. Rogers said this: "If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, nothing really matters. But if he came out of that grave, and he did, nothing but that matters. Because of the empty tomb, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's tasted hell, death, and the grave, and is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible said he ever liveth to make every intercession. He's praying for you, he's praying for me. He's also waiting for God the Father to say, 'Go and get my bride.' There'll be a shout, the voice of the archangel, last trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Then Paul said, and Paul expected it to happen in his lifetime. Now, he may have been wrong in his timing, he was right on his spirit. He said, "We which are remaining alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air." But until that time, and let's occupy till he comes, and not only be able to profess, but be part of the evidence of what God can do through a resurrected life. I want you to bow your heads now, if you would, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed in just a couple of moments. Then we're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I'm not talking about just joining a church and being baptized and trying to live a good life and nodding yes to some questions. I'm talking about turning from the old and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Allowing Him to come and live in your life. Friend, if that's not happened to you, the greatest miracle can occur today on this Easter Sunday morning, where you pass from death unto life and you become a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if that's not happened, don't play Russian roulette with eternity. Settle that today. I wonder if you'd say with me, Brother Preacher, I want to join you in prayer that God will do a fresh work. God will do a mighty work in this place. God will settle down in this place. Lay His hand upon it. Touch it. Use it for His honor and His glory. And maybe if you're in need of a church home, just a couple of moments when we stand, begin to sing, we just invite you to step out of that place of privacy. Just yoke up with this church, and God, the Holy Spirit's leading you to just plant your membership right here. See, every believer needs a, just as you need a physical home, you need a church home. You need a church home where you can grow with God's people. You still got some old grave clothes on? Won't you just repent? Say, Lord, I want them taken off and trust Him. Father, we'd ask you now in the name of Jesus, these next few moments, that Lord, that eternity, we know, is hanging in the balance with some. We pray, Father, that today would be the day that people come to Christ. For other decisions, Lord, we pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit, the freedom of the liberty of the Holy Spirit to move in hearts and lives. Tell you we love you and bless you and praise you and trust you in what you're going to do in these next few moments. For we ask this in Jesus' precious, holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you please stand with me and as you